Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Zion for our third and final Advent midweek service during this season. As was the case last week, we just have the one reading. It's a little bit longer, but I regret nothing. As we continue our hearing and learning what God has to tell us about Christ and the story of his servant David. God's blessings on your worship this evening. We begin by singing our opening hymn together, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, on page 357.
O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears.
Come, thou
day spring from on high, and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad divisions cease, and be thyself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Please stand. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God shall come. He does not keep silence.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Make his paths straight.
Shower, O heaven, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation may spout forth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We pray together, stir up
our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for our reading. Our reading this evening comes from 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, beginning with the first verse. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him, and was with his children. It used to eat of his morsel, and drink from his cup, and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare it for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the light of this sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die." Then Nathan went to his house. And the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him, 'The child is dead'? He may do himself some harm." But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" They said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What is this thing you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the responsory. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch."
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
He shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
We say together the third article of the Apostles' Creed, along with its meaning from Luther's Small Catechism. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. So during these Wednesday... First of all, last time I preached, the tree shut itself off. So I'm hoping that I preach better this time. It does not do that. We've been hearing about the story of King David. After all, you know, virtually no other name in Scripture is more associated with Jesus than the name of David. You know, we've read about the prophet Samuel being sent by God to find a shepherd king in Bethlehem, of all places, pointing forward to our own good shepherd born in Bethlehem for us. We've looked at the story of David and Goliath because the birth of Jesus is nothing less than a war cry against the devil and the powers of sin and death. But this, you know, David committing adultery and then murder, Nathan reading him the riot act and pronouncing God's judgment, David fasting and weeping, hoping against hope that God will spare his son, his prayers and tears proving futile, and his son dying anyway. If David was a man after God's own heart, if he's one of the precursors to Jesus, why does he act this way? If the life of David is there to show us the Savior to come, then why is he acting in such an un-Christ-like manner? Adultery, deceit, murder, death, pretty much everything God abhors rolled into one story. Where is Jesus in all of this? You know, David's story shows us just how destructive sin can be. You know, one sin doesn't stand by itself very often. It almost always leads to another and another and another. And so before you know it, in the story of David and Bathsheba, multiple commandments are being violated in succession. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not murder. Done, 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 and done. And because of this, David's entire world falls apart. The prophet Nathan tells him, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house." If you're familiar with the story of David that takes place after this reading in 2 Samuel with his son Absalom, you know that those things definitely played themselves out. Notice, however, what God doesn't do. He doesn't kill David. He had every right to. I mean, according to God's law, that's exactly what should have happened. It's right there in Leviticus chapter 20. If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Word of the Lord. And yet that's not what happens. David suffers many consequences, but he doesn't pay the ultimate price. Instead, the prophet Nathan says, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die." Child who is born shall die. Again, under the law, David should have been put to death. That's what his sin called for, but that's not what he got. Instead, his sin was put away, and his punishment was put on someone else, someone innocent and weak. Now, as the father of three sons reading this, it's heartbreaking to put myself in David's shoes. I think most fathers would agree that we would rather die for our sons than for our sons to suffer for something that we had done. That is the opposite of everything that being a father stands for. Nevertheless, David's death sentence was put on his son. The son of David paid the price for David's sin and was put to death for the things that David had done. We spend this time each and every year waiting for a son to be born. Each year we hear the birth announcement made by the announcement of the incarnation made by the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And this is joyous news. This is wonderful news. However, there is a reason that this son is going to be born, and that reason is us. Like David, our sinful deeds are utterly abhorrent to the Lord. And because of those deeds and those thoughts and those words, this child, like David's infant son, is born under a death sentence. Unlike David's infant son, however, this son of David goes into death for our sin, taking it all away from us. He takes everything, from Adam's fall to David's infidelity and murder to everything we've done, and he pays for it with his blood. The Lord didn't put away David's sin because of his infant son's death. He put it away in light of the son that was yet to come. The son born in Bethlehem and later nailed to a cross for the sins of the entire world, a sacrifice that covers all sin at all times in all places. It was in light of the events in this reading, this David-Bathsheba incident, that David wrote Psalm 51. And in it, David prays words that we should find familiar because we hear them on many Sunday mornings after the offering. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. God answered David's prayer. And he did so in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. We pray these same words most weeks, boldly and confidently, knowing that we too will be answered. Indeed, we already have been answered. After all, it's written, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, that's Christmas. Christmas is the celebration that not only is Jesus born, but he is born for you. Not only has Jesus lived, but he's lived for you. Not only did he die, but he died for you. He didn't just rise, but he rose for you. We wait for this child to come knowing that he's coming in order to die. But we rejoice all the same because we know that it's us that he's come to die for. In his death and resurrection, we have life. And so we give thanks to God our Father who put forth his own Son as a propitiation for us. Therefore, as we prepare to end this Advent season, we go back again to Bethlehem. We rejoice and give thanks with the angels and the shepherds for the baby boy lying in the manger, never forgetting why he's lying there. We give thanks for the complete forgiveness and salvation we have in Jesus Christ, saying with the crowds of Jerusalem as they too welcomed their king, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David." In Jesus' name, amen. We continue with our sermon hymn, number 334.
Shall I meet you? How welcome you arrive. Your people long to greet you, my hope, my heart's delight. O candle, Lord most holy, your lamp within my shame be mourning, you came to honor me. O glorious crown you give me, a treasure safe on high that will not fail or leave me as earthly riches fly. judge the nations, a terror to his foes, a light of consolations and blessed hope to those who of the Lord's appearing. O glorious sun, now come, send forth your beam so cheering, and guide us safely home.
We stand. We pray together. Blessed Lord,
you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning.
Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen. Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, number 373.
Sing amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below. See the gentle Lamb appears, promised from eternal years. Hail, O ever blessed morn, hail, redemption's happy dawn. Sing through all Jerusalem, Christ is born in sublime, sits amid the chair.